الوحدة والوكالة الأمريكية للتنمية الدولية بدعم حملة بتاع يوم الأغذية العالمي لسنة 2020. زراعة، أكل، حفاظ، سوا شغل بتانا، ده مستقبل بتانا. عشان تعرف كتير اتصل برقم 515.
ماما شايته كيف؟
أنا كويسة ما بعرف.
كيتكم يلا؟ كريتكم على بينا كيتكم أروى بعيد.
أفلورا أنا يومين دي ما جايني يالي يقولوا أبارة عشان ألعبوا.
أنا وري لأمان قال كده أمان جاني هنا ده في مال واي.
بالمناسبة يا فلورا تقول وري لإيال ديل تريقل صح وده بقدر سايدو إيال ديل عشان كيف أمان بقدر حمي نفسه تتومن من مرض اللي سمتو COVID-19. لكن كيف أمان جي فاهم ومن بقدر جيني بعيد من بعد تتومون وبالذات بسابحات تتومون
حاجة أنا أمولي ياودي أنا شرح لأمان عن COVID-19 عشان أمان بفاهم حاجات اللي بيحصل وأنا كمان وري لأمان عن أعراب البي ظاهر كان زولين دو COVID-19 زي قوها ونزلة شديد عشان أمان كان حسو بأعراب ده أمان بجا وري لأنا وأنا بقدر ساعد أمان
وكمان كرمون جيني في بيت وكرمون جيني بيت من بعد تطمون
كلام تاكي دسا وانا بوري لومن كمان ما زي زمن تاول لومن كان بالاب سوا جيني سوا كده مسافة يكون بيت لانو كورونا فيروس مرض كاب مرض خطير بيقاتل الناس
ايال دايما ماجي فاهم ليه ابوحات وامحات ماجي رودومون كده روال ابو بارا وبايال في زمن دي لكن أنا بقدر سايدومون كدومون فاهم طريقة الصح عشان بقدر سايدومون ومون بقدر شيلو مسؤولية بنفوس تاتومون
My name is Jackie Gold. I'm a member of the United Nations Police and I'm a community policing officer. And I'd like to talk a little bit about keeping our children safe. And this starts with very basic education of your children. Before they've even left your house, when they're very young, if you can educate them about the dangers of being out on the road, about the dangers of being on their own, make them aware and make them aware that they must never talk to strangers and they must report any crimes. Now, if you do need to send your children out, if they're going to school on their own, try and send them with other children. Try and send them with an adult. Accompany them to school yourself. When they finish school, if you're able to do so, pick them up yourself. So it's about you as an adult being aware of where your children are, who they're with, who their friends are, and making sure you know what time they're going out and what time they are coming in. If you can do these things, educate them, understand the timings, understand who their friends are, it will make your children an awful lot safer. You need to teach your children about who is safe to be with and who is not safe to be with. But the most important thing for a child is to understand that if they do get into trouble, they can run, they can go and find the nearest adult or somewhere that looks safe to them to report that particular incident.
Did you know that you can learn about South Sudan and Africa on radio? Tune in every Saturday from 12 to 1 to Radio Miraya 101 FM, the voice of peace with me, Ogen Roth, or just Uncle Deno for the children's variety show. It is an opportunity for you to be heard as well as listen to the voice of the children of South Sudan. The Children's Variety Show on Radio Miraya 101 FM every Saturday from 12 to 1. Do not miss out on the voice of the children.
Table. Hello and welcome to the second hour of the round table with me, Sunny Martin. And today, if you have just joined us, we are discussing about the plan launch of the establishment of the Commission of Truth, Reconciliation and Healing that will be done here next week. And this team will be visiting the states plus the three administrative area, and the members are all together 36. They will also be visiting the neighboring countries to gather views on how this commission should be established and the legislation for this process of healing and truth, healing and reconciliation. And also we have here in the studio to discuss all this is Dr. Gabriel Isaac Awo, the Undersecretary and the Chairperson of the Task Force in the Ministry of Justice and the Constitutional Affairs, Ambassador Jerome Bisuaro from the African Union, Ambassador to South Sudan, Chris Gitari, Transitional Justice Advisor with RJMEC, the Reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, Professor Quel Maluil, JOC Deputy Vice Chancellor, Dr. John Garang, University of Science and Technology, and he's also Professor of Constitutional Law and International Criminal Law. And that's our lines will be open to you shortly. You can call and be part of our discussion right here. 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion, or you can send us your question to our SMS number 0912177141 and ask your question, and we shall be putting them to our panelists here to answer all your questions. Also visit our social media page and drop your question there. We shall be having them. Before our lines are open, Undersecretary, there are questions people are asking that how will the outcome be implemented without a constitution and a required structure stipulated in the agreement, before our lines are open?
Thank you very much again, Sunny. It is true that this is cannot be fulfilled, especially the issue of drafting of enacting a legislation to govern the Commission of Truth and Reconciliation. But what I want to put the attention of the people at our previous discussion, that within a period of 2 weeks, the constitution making process will be enacted.
From now,
because my update is that the two houses will deliberate on it
on the bills. Soon,
on the bill of constitution making process. Then after the bill, the rest of the process of constitution making will be kicking according to that law. So it is true that if the process of enactment of the constitution delays, for sure will not also delay the enactment of this law. It can operate. There is no problem that we are going a process of healing and reconciliation, and also we can go in another line with working on enactment of the constitution. They are not contradicting themselves.
Right, Professor, what do you see as the major challenge to the whole process, in your view?
The major challenge is that when you are creating any commission or this what they call truth and reconciliation and healing, you must derive all the provisions from the constitution law. And if the domestic constitutional law is not in operation, then they will face difficulties here.
Okay. Yes, RJMEC, what is your advice in this regard? Because this is one of the main concerns.
Thank you for your question. The agreement under, I think, Article 8 point, I'll just look at it, 8.2, provides for its incorporation into the Constitution of the Republic of South Sudan. That incorporation has happened, amendment number 6 and number 8. As a result, this process that the Ministry of Justice is undertaking is part of the Constitution. It's part of the laws of South Sudan. So there is no contradiction. It is covered there, and so there should not be anything to worry about.
All right. Now our lines are open. You can call us on 0912062079 and ask your question. You can direct your question to any of our four panelists here. Dr. Gabriel Isaac, who is the Undersecretary and Chairperson of the Task Force in the Ministry of Justice and Constitutional Affairs, and he will be willing to answer them in both English and Arabic, depending on what is your choice. Ambassador Jerome Biswaro, the Ambassador of the African Union to South Sudan, based here in Juba, and the Transitional Advisor to RJMEC, Chris Gitari, and Professor Quell is also here. They will all be answering your questions. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Hello, Marhab.
Marhabek.
Marhab, Mark Frank Kusirik.
Okay, Min Jebel.
Min Jebel.
Marhabek Frank Min Jebel.
I'm Tahir Laka, or Tahir Lubi, with us in the studio. Protocol of Yop. Taban, I'm a woman of Kalati. Taban, at the Gundam of Oviat and Adal and Kavali, or Mahasaba, with Allah, which is 5 years. طبعا هو بيقوم عملية بالغ الحمية وجزء من عملية المصالحة بين الناس عشان يعود السلام الوطني والمصالحة بين الناس ويكون في شفافية. فالسؤال اللي بيطرح نفسه طبعا بعد ما يكون التكوين بتاع اللجنة هينشر الولايات ويتشاور الناس النساء والرجال وحتى الناس المتضررين طبعا النهاية المطاف طبعا اللي نسأل هل حيكون شفافية؟ طبعا هو شفافية وانه الناس يعرفوا بعض. فالهل انه لا زال المرتكبين الجرائم ديل هل بيدوب في المحاكم ولا يكونش بس يقف مع بعض والناس ترجع في صفحه جديده؟ ده سؤال بتاعي بالنسبه للموضوع ده.
اوكي
هل في نازل بيدوب المحاكم ولا بس ينتهي؟
اوكي شكرا عند السكرتير بيجاوب سؤال تاك ده طوالي. هلو ديمير. هلا
ثاني مارتن.
يس يور نيم جيمس.
يس
اوكي فروم غوديلي.
يس
اوكي جيمس فروم غوديلي جو اهيد.
Thank you, Tani Martin. I would like to begin by asking the member of African Union that there is a recent report being released by the British lawyer, the government official Hyde. And that release, to me, I observe it, and I see that release full of influence of money. So how should you really come in conclusion of forming the committee while the investigation seemed to be based on one side, no evidence collected from the both sides? Should this really lead to reconciliation to be in a good manner? Two, according to the revitalized agreement, things need to be addressed with what is in the revitalized agreement. And revitalized agreement is moving backwards than to going forward. So how should you really observe this thing? Are really going to pave the way for real reconciliation in the country? Lastly, the one who released the report ordered yesterday for apology from
the AU and the UN.
Yeah, and the UN.
Mm.
Should you think really is this one not a fueling up of conflict within the community since one person is now owning the affairs of the Republic of South Sudan?
Right.
Are you not seeing this one is a part of incitement of the communities?
All right. Thank you so much, James, from Juba here. We can pick one more and give the chance for the people to answer. Hello, Redimire.
Good morning, Sani Martin.
Morning to you. Your name?
Okay. This is Burukusuk from Ye.
Okay. Go ahead from Ye.
Okay, I have one question, and then my question wants to go the same like the one of Frank was a bit, but have a different idea.
Okay.
My question goes like this. For us to have a healing and reconciliation, let's say in chapter 5 of the revitalization agreement, talked about what? Compassion of, most especially, the I don't know if it is in which chapter exactly talked about what? Compassion of people, that most especially there are other things that are we are lose our properties during the conflict.
Yeah.
And how can we have healing and reconciliation? Meanwhile, the things of those people are not being compensated, but most especially the other places that are being taken by army, or the other thing also that are happened, most of the people, they have lost their life, and then justice have not taken place. How can we have healing and reconciliation? Meanwhile, those things are not compensated. And then also the second question, yeah, if we will have that one, are they going to hell, those people that have committed crimes during the conflict, responsible or not? Because if those people are not being held accountable, it means that one, we cannot call that, we will have what? A healing and reconciliation. Because most of the people, I would say, okay, man, how can I forgive that person and not being punished? Thank you.
All right, thank you so much from here, Brokuso, from here with your question. Yes, Undersecretary, I think you have to take these two from Franco Minjabel or Brokuso from EA.
Okay, thank you very much, Sandy Martin. As you said, I will have the question, I will answer the question of Bokasoro. I don't know.
Brokuso
from Ye. For our brother, Franco, حقيقةً ده كلامك صحيح يا فرانكو إنه هل الناس المرتكبين بتاع الجرائم ده هل هيمشوا للمحاكمة أو للمحكمة حسب الاتفاقية اللي نحن بننفذ اتفاقية السلام المنشطة لسنة 2018 وأنا مرات قاعد أقول للناس إنه حقيقةً يا نحن we need to educate ourselves يعني لازم نحن نحاول نعلم نفسنا برانا على أساس شنو نقدر نحن نطلع على الاتفاقية الناس بغنبوه كل وقت ده so that we know the provisions الاتفاقية ده من ضمن يعني الوظائف أو المسؤوليات بتاع المفوضية بتاع الحقيقة والمصالحة والتعافي إنه هو يتحقق يتحرك كويس ويتخذ إجراءات ضد مرتكبي بتاع الجرائم وده ما بتم عن طريق المفوضية بتاع الحقيقة المصالحة براها أنا إحنا ما عندنا المسألة بتاع المحكمة الهجين اللي هيتكون وعندنا عندنا الآلية مفوضية هيكون بتاع التعويضات وجبر الضرر دولسو في الفصل الخامس دين كله هيكون جزء من الآليات بتاع العدالة الانتقالية فالمرتكبين بتاع الجرائم ده درجات في ناس ممكن يتم عن طريق المصالحات في ناس ممكن يتم عن طريق التعويضات وجبر الضرر وفي ناس ممكن يمشي محاكمة فإذا نحن الاتفاقية نفذ بأحكامه الموجود فيه أنا متأكد لابد أن المرتكبين بتاع الجرائم بيستحق ويمشي المحكمة يمشي المحكمة عشان يحاكموا عشان يبقى عبرة للآخرين بالنسبة للسؤال بتاع brother from Ye you are right what you are saying is correct but as the ambassador said last time ambassador of African Union the institution of transition justice has to be implementing holistically all of them are to supposed to be implemented because they are compelled they are complementing themselves so if we are going for we are starting now with the commission of truth and reconciliation does not mean that we have left the two other mechanisms
yeah
and one of them as you have said you will know that the compensation and repatriation authority and the fund will be established by the government as provided by the agreement this also will give the room for the people whom there is home was destroyed by the war so that they are to be given also to be compensated and so that they can be able also to rebuild their villages and their town so this also will be part of the process we are not ending now with the process of healing and reconciliation we'll be going to the hybrid court the same time we'll be going to the compensation and repatriation so what you are saying is correct and this is must be done so that people can be at least tell the truth and healing themselves at the consulate. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, Ambassador Biswaro, this question from James in Good Hill here. Yesterday there was a press conference by the lawyer who wrote this report that was released by the National Security this week, a British lawyer, and he actually said that there must be an apology from the African Union and the United Nations, and that's what he's asking. And also, Professor answered this question that James raised earlier on about the influence or the impact of this report on the whole process. Maybe you can take on that, the last part of the apology.
Oh, in the first place, with respect to the declassified report, I'm yet to see it, and therefore I wouldn't be in a position to comment on this. Secondly, on the apology, unless I see it again in a formal manner, is when I can respond to that. I thank you.
Okay, that may be it. It's, you have had the question there and answer. First of all, what about the slow implementation? Does it worry you, the African Union and the partners who are trying to see that the peace process moves forward? That's part of the question of James.
Implementation of
the agreement.
Indeed, it has been painstakingly slow for various reasons. And does it mean that we abandon the implementation? The struggle, I mean, the process should be continued, and everybody who should also be cooperative to see to it that we cross the bridge.
Okay, there is another question here coming via our SMS to the Undersecretary, and he says the technical committee has been given 2 weeks to go and do their work. That is from Moses Luakrek in Bentiu Unity State. He says these 2 weeks to him is too little, and this will force the technical committee to collect data on truth and reconciliation, and this is going to make it just a sketchy summary of information. Why 2 weeks? Why don't you give them ample time to gather as much as enough evidence or consultation you want and come back with a valid report? Yes, Undersecretary.
Thank you, Boromais. You are right. What you are saying is absolutely correct. And as I said from the beginning, that this is what now has set the plan, that they have to go for 2 weeks. But might be extended if we see that there is necessity for the time to be increased so that they can be in a position to correct the proper information for the establishment of the commission.
Okay, another question here is coming in from Johnson Kak from St. Joseph Parish, Kwajok, to the Undersecretary. Who are your targets in the state when you send this technical committee? Who are you going to meet exactly?
Our target, as we have said, our target will be the whole people. Our target will be the traditional authority, will be the women, will be the men, will be the girl, and will be the boy. That anybody whom we think that can give an information so that to benefit for enactment the law, he will be in a position to give his statement. So this is our target.
Is it going to be in form of questions or?
As I said from the beginning, that the whole media requirement will be used.
Okay.
As I've said, we will have a workshop, we will be having a talk show, we'll be having meeting with the group of people, we'll be having women, girls, and all these things. So all media methods will be used so that we can be positioned to at least to have anybody so that to get this information.
Right. You can call us right now on 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. Those are all our lines. You can call and ask your question to our panelists here. Hello, Redi Miraya. Hello.
Hello, Redi Miraya.
Yes, your name?
I'm Nixon Taban from Ye.
Taban from Ye?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Taban.
Two questions to ask. Yeah, one of my questions is that there are other areas still that are not accessible for other people to move. How will this committee be inclusive? And yet, atrocities are made even in rural areas. How can we involve people who are from the rural areas? This is one question. Two, we still hear tensions around here and there. How will this reconciliation be valid for the time right now? People are still having the fear, they are still even expecting might be the clashes, and but people are still going for reconciliation. Why is it that we go for reconciliation, yet there's not even dialogue in other areas that needed peace, at least a succession of hostilities in the country? So, one to the ambassador finally. The question is, now the document, if the document is collected or if the information is collected, how sure that this information will be valid or it will not be edited and the true information that is found on the ground will be valid until its final stages?
Okay.
Because they are the monitoring teams. How can they monitor our information from the ground? Like, if these people come here, I will give my information. How sure that my really information that testing is will be valid until the last stage?
Okay.
Thank you
so much, Taban, for your question. You can still call us on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can also drop your question via our Facebook page, and we shall be reading some of them shortly. Hello, Redi Mire.
Sane Martin.
Yes, your name?
Malter. Manut George Manuago.
Okay.
Aswale Kev Sane Martin.
Aswale Taki, Manut.
Shukura ngati sual beta imaji la kwa studio. Yana uta watu ganu num koto le nas el album le na balbala. Ani ni shab dino yana ni dari ni el ganu kun yani kun ala mene kuzol. Kuzol la mene kun pi tele awa ni na pi fist dialogue udan gani samo badna. Ubaga kula kui kan kwa kui bedu galal mi udar. Ani kerb guad beta na pi fist majeran beta. Ani bak kwalche watu ganu num.
Hello, Manut. Hello. Oh, siapa kamu akuis? Hello, Redi Mire. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, your name.
Hello.
Hello, your name.
My name is
Darbin Win. Hello. Yes, Kat Marquis. Yes, we can now give the floor to our panelists to answer some of these questions right here. Let's begin with Taban from here, Undersecretary Taban Itumiana Musulin Fogu. Fi mahala lisa, that cannot be accessed at the moment now. So, fi plan itumkutu fi mahala to us and to ensure that you can pass the message there.
Thank you very much, our brother Taban. This is really a very serious concern, and we have discussed it at the level of the task force and the Minister of Justice, and we discuss it also at the level of the technical committee. For sure, Taban, we will not say that the whole country is stable.
Mm-hmm.
There are areas which is not accessible, and the view of those people might not be good. But as I've said, we are starting doing this public consultation. And your answer, well, the answer of your question for sure will come when the teams came from the ground. They will submit a report to the Minister of Justice, and they will inform us that what are the area they went and they visited, and what are the area they was not able to visit. So this will be put in consideration. Secondly, I want to say, Taban, that it is true that we are not supposed to be hurry, because if we do not make sure that we have collected the view of the people of South Sudan, there is no need for the law to be enacted, because we will not be comprehensive. So let us be patient. If we cannot stop working, or we cannot wait until things are stable, we must start. Then what remains behind also will be considered. And also this will be the ground for us, even not to in hurry, to start drafting the bill until we make sure that the information is collected properly and will be used for establishment of the commission.
Okay. This question was raised earlier on about the said tension in the country, and saying that still there are people who have not known peace yet. People are still running here and there. People are being displaced. People are still in IDP camps. People are still mourning their loved one. People are still looking for their missing persons. Up to now, they don't know where. And you are embarking on peace and reconciliation, the Commission of Truth, Healing and Reconciliation. Is this the right time? Maybe RJ Meka, Chris, you can come in as somebody the monitor.
Thank you for that question. I think the Undersecretary has answered the question, but also I could add as follows.
Yeah.
When the technical committee goes into the states, it will also make observations about the situation of the people of South Sudan. And those situations where they're not able to access, or if they find they did not get the visa of those people, or if they realize that those people are not yet reconciled, they will note that and make it part of their findings.
Yeah.
The reason why this is important is that it will impact the kind of legislation that will be drawn up, so that you find that they could emphasize that the CTRH should ensure that it leads reconciliation efforts in those parts of the countries that have not yet been reached. Maybe, hopefully, by the time the CTRH is established, it can maybe look at those areas where there's been no reconciliation or there's little reconciliation, and emphasize and lead efforts in terms of pushing for reconciliation. So the technical committee's views and their findings will inform the legislation, and the legislation will definitely ensure that they can ensure that the CTRH, the character of the CTRH will have certain emphases in certain areas. I also wanted to also make the comment as concerns compensation and reparations.
Yeah.
The CTRH also can submit its the applications for people who have applied to it for reparations. If the CTRH, once it's established, if it makes findings on reparations, it can pass this forward to the Compensation and Reparations Authority. So the CRA can receive those applications from the CTRH. And you know, the Compensation and Reparations Authority's mandate is to give compensation and reparations. So I think that is important to just mention. And then our last point I need to mention, which was raised, and I needed to just guide the discussion, was the question of Queen's Counsel Stephen Kay and his firm and his the report.
Yeah.
I want to draw your attention to Article 5.3.6, which says that the hybrid court may use the report of the Africa Union Commission of Inquiry, or can use existing documents and other reports. And those are ones can be looked at by the prosecutor. And if he deems it necessary, he can use it when he takes his cases forward. So in essence, the prosecutor or the hybrid court, once the hybrid court is established, can look at information from various sources, not just one source. And he is the one now to make a determination, because the prosecutor is supposed to be independent to make a determination of the cases that he should move forward. So I think there should be no anxiety about people feeling about one side or the other. I think there a holistic approach is what has been emphasized, and also looking at all the materials and all reports from various sources. I think I just need to make that last point.
Yeah. There was a question of ensuring that what is collected from the people is not distorted.
This is what I want to answer. It is true that but in this movement, as I've said from the beginning, the member of the technical committee is drawn from the whole group of the people of South Sudan, and including the signatory to the agreement from the civil society. And I've said that the majority of the technical committee are from civil society. For sure, it is necessary for us to trust our people whom we are giving them assignment.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot doubt not that if that they will bring a false report. I'm sure, as I've said, the report will not immediately be transformed to a bill or to a legislation. This all report which was be brought on the ground will be analyzed, because we are human beings also, you might discover that what is the correct information, because most of the violations happen in most part of South Sudan, because I think they have a similar nature. So I want to tell my brother from Taban that at least we hope that the information which will be brought by the technical committee will be the same information we give them.
Okay. There is a question here going to Professor Quell, and this is coming from Deng in Bor town of Jonglei State. It says, Professor, I am your explanation was very clear about the document that was released this week. That was a good answer you gave. And he wanted to find out one. His question is, as a professor, what kind of recommendation can you give to the technical committee who are going to go to all the 10 states and the 3 administrative areas given your experience from what you mentioned about the Gacaca court in Rwanda. That's one. And secondly, he want to find out from you, he heard yesterday in the news that the lawyer from UK is asking the African Union and the UN to apologize, and this is going to jeopardize. He's already drawing his conclusion that there should be an apology. Don't you think this might jeopardize the whole process?
Thank you very much for then. These are very genuine questions. First, your first question, the Commission for Reconciliation, Truth and Reconciliation and Healing. I mentioned before that they should consider customary laws. You know, when you embody customary laws, these laws, they help in addressing the disputes and the conflicts. And then you establish from there the alternatives as legal hypothesis. And you reach a conclusion that this one was applied before and then it works, it operates. So it is obligatory for the people of South Sudan to consider their customs, which they use for as the resolutions for the crisis. That's one thing that they have to consider. Going to the issue related to the declassification of the of the classified data last week, I think I mentioned before that if I were to be asked, this document would have been kept for the use when the Ivory Court is established, and then the prosecutor has enormous freedom to collect all the information. Then he invites the suspects, and then this data would have been brought to the prosecutor, because the law doesn't limit what they call in international law limitation scope. Limitation scope, it is when it is defined from this time to this time. But they need the document. They need the documents. They are left within the jurisdiction of the prosecutor, within the prosecutor that would be brought as a neutral, reliable, and a trusted person. And he would use this document, this classified document, for the investigation, and would be the right person to disprove that these crimes were committed because of this and this and this. So it would have benefited the body that is releasing it today. And by releasing it now, it has some repercussions, negative reactions from people who feel that they are now accused and they may not cooperate. And that is the system of mind that the document would have not been released if we were to be asked.
Okay. You can call us right now on 0912062079 and ask your question right here. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Morning.
Yes. Your name?
You are talking to John
from Rumbek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sunny, I don't want to shy away in repeating the same question was asked by Taban.
Okay.
About the, you know, the intended views of the people that will be contacted by the technical committee when they come to the States. Two things that happened. And when the committee comes, they don't come, you know, with their own way of how they are going to collect the information. Because they are, you know, they are guided by the state government. Are those which, I mean, those who wish to participate openly, who are informed, are not allowed, you know, to participate. One, people that they are supposed to meet are predetermined by the state government. And this lacks a lot, I mean, and this makes a lot of challenges. Because when those who have it, the informed people are supposed to participate in such, you know, in such consultation. I have an experience previously in such committee, those whom they meet and the location they go, is also predetermined of who is supposed to participate in that consultation. So I appeal to them that they would, if indeed that, you know, their views are important in the, you know, policy making process, then they need to be opened. The media they talked about is just a result of passing information to the public, but it does not take in its actual sense.
Okay.
So this is my concern, and it is a reality. So I'm of that view of Taban, and that was the question that I would wish to ask before. But this is the sense. It is not only meant, you know, to the area that are accessible, the area that are accessible for this committee.
Okay.
There is still a restriction of who is to be contacted and what to say. So our views are not taken the way they are. They are screened and they are predetermined. Thank you.
All right. John from Rumbeka, your question will be answered by the Undersecretary right here in the studio. 0912062079 or 0912062950. Hello, Redi Mirai. Hello?
Sana Martin.
Yes.
Good morning. This is Samuel from Malakal.
Okay, Samuel from Malakal, go ahead.
Yeah, I have just one question. My question is going to the person in the studio or African Union, one of them can answer it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my question is regarding the violation that he talked about before. He's saying that the problem that happened last week has been instigated by the when he had the group cutted or they suspended their discretion.
Mm-hmm.
But according to my understanding, the problem is not from there. The problem is the weakness of the IGAD and the African Union. If I can make it well, in 2015, when the peace agreement was signed in Addis Ababa, they signed it on 10 steps. But when the president reached Juba, he increased it in 28 steps. Instead of the argument or the IGAD to come and say, no, this one cannot work like that, they allow it to go like that.
But we are now in 10 steps.
No, he come back after long struggle.
So what's your question?
And now again, yes, my question is coming here. Recently, now people are talking the security arrangement. And according to the chapter 2, here there, it is 50-50, but the government and the president here now, they are trying
about chapter 5, yes.
I'm putting my question now. Question is, in case they are seeing that the government is delaying, why they are not accord the government and instead now trying to renegotiate the agreement? Instead of renegotiation, why don't they go and implement the agreement as it is?
All right. Thank you so much. We have a question coming in here to the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Justice, who is also the head of the task force, the chairperson. And this is coming from Johnson. And Johnson wants to find out, Undersecretary, what kind of legislation are you trying to come up with after this consultation in the 10 states plus the 3 administrative area that will guide the Commission of Truth, Reconciliation and Healing? That's from Johnson here in Tomping in Juba. And plus the other question that came in from John in that was a comment, John from Rumbek, saying that he has an experience. The people who are going to participate in this consultation are already predetermined by the state government. And what can you tell John about that?
Yes. Thank you very much. Let me start with John. John from Rumbek, thank you very much. This is really a concern of the wise person. You are right, and the experience you might have might be true. I would say that because those issues happening and those practices happening, we cannot deny this. But what I want to say, my brother John, is that there was a previous attempt of public consultations, which was done after the signing of the peace agreement of 2015. And now we are now implementing the 2018 revitalized peace agreement. And I hope that, and this is what we are directing the technical committee, that the only role of the state government is that to inform them that we have a team of the technical committee coming to your state, you provide them security, then let them do their own work.
Without interfering.
Without their interfering. We are not sending them. This is why, John, even the cost of the travel, the government is not the one paying it. And the state government have nothing to do with them. They are coming independently to collect the information, and we hope that they will be transparent and do the job in a good manner.
Mm-hmm. Then, Johnson, what kind of legislation are you trying to come up with that will guide the establishment of the CTRH?
Thank you, John. The agreement has provided for establishment of Commission of Truth and Reconciliation and Healing. Many provisions. And what I want to say is that the legislation which will be enacted to govern the Commission of Truth and Reconciliation will be having, the first thing will be having the body who is to be handling the affairs of the commission, and this is also must appear in the legislation. The another element also is very important to appear there, the power and the function of the commission, how it is operate and what are its mandate, and this also is already stipulated in the agreement in the power and function of the Commission of Truth and Reconciliation. So those are the elements which will be part of this legislation. The people who are managing will manage the commission. And I want also to give additional information to my people so that they know.
Yeah.
According to the agreement, the people who will manage, who will be going to manage the commission, they will call some commissioners. And those commissioners, they will be having also investigators, and they will be having also a staff. The main, the super body in that commission is the commissioner body, which is of the commission. The commissioners are provided in the agreement to be seven commissioners. In these seven commissioners, four of them will be Southern Sudanese, and in these four also, two are to be women, and the other three will be also selected from the African countries, and they will not be a Southern Sudanese. The four members who are Southern Sudanese, their names after the executive, nominate them, they will be also tabled before the assembly, the National Assembly, so that the National Assembly endorses those names of the four people.
Mm-hmm.
For the three who are not national, through the chairperson of the African Union Commission, in consultation with the Secretary General of UN, there will be a one to nominate the three foreigner, and those three foreigner also will be tabled before the assembly so that they are to be endorsed. So in my best opinion, as the skeleton of this commission, I think we have a foreign element in it, and this also will be one of the guarantees that we'll be having a commission will be operate properly and will fulfill its mandate.
Okay. Before we come to this general question from someone in Malakal, Professor, there seems to be a kind of fear from the citizens that even if we come forward and speak, whatever is required from us, our voices may not be taken as it is. It might be distorted on the way. Just, you have an experience from the national dialogue. That's what people were saying. At this particular time now, what is required to ensure that the participation of the citizens in this process is very significant, and citizens comes forward with confidence, without fear of being tracked or followed after they have already said what they want to say, without also having fear that what I may say may not reach the final destination as I said it in the beginning?
Thank you very much. They have genuine fear because of their experiences. Sometimes they are followed, sometimes their telephones are intercepted. But this situation will not happen to them, because the government is doing now is to comply with the implementation of agreement. And this is one of the issues which the agreement touches, that every individual would be allowed to freely express himself or herself, and they have to comply with the law. The security is not allowed to be there, And this depends from the presidency, because when people were not interrogated during the time of dialogue,
mm-hmm.
it was the president who was really protecting people and allowing people to express their views.
And many analysts are saying that some of these politicians who feels like once this hybrid court is established, they might be implicated in the thing, and they are always, it seems like they are against it. Do you feel the same sentiment, Professor, that people and the politicians who are supposed to really push forward the whole process are not really like, I'm digging my own grave anyway?
Of course, this is in international law. Some states, they reject tribunals, because tribunals, they interfere with the sovereignty of states. So some states, they reject the formation of international tribunals. But in case of the hybrid court of South Sudan, it was the people of South Sudan, the political force, which has created this law, which is now to be implemented. And if they want to implement it, it is their responsibility and it is obligatory for them to comply.
Okay. Yes, Ambassador, as we are concluding, will this hybrid court ever be established?
Why are you doubting it?
No, this is not me. These are the questions people are asking. Will it ever be established with all the challenges we are facing right now?
Our point of departure was that the whole transitional justice chapter
mm-hmm.
will be implemented holistically, including this hybrid court, which is part of the mechanism.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that in letter and spirit, it will be established.
So when you talk holistically, that is really too big. So people will be wondering, really, because now the issue people want to see is that this process kicks off. It has actually delayed so much, like I asked you in the beginning.
Indeed, it has been delayed, just like the whole agreement has been delayed.
Yeah.
And therefore, it is the kitchen, the chicken and an egg kind of question.
Yeah.
And I wish we could have crossed the bridge right now, but we are not yet there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to be patient insofar as this process is concerned.
Okay. And since you are the representative of the African Union, and you say the agreement is just also taking its own shape in the way it's being implemented, what is your comment to what Samuel was asking from Malakal, your general overview with the implementation of the peace process, and what will be your recommendation as we conclude?
My general view is that indeed it is has been delayed for some reasons which are obvious and unobvious, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to with the process. People, I call upon South Sudanese people to be patient, cooperative, collaborative, holistically, so that they implement this agreement. And I can see it the only hope for at the moment for South Sudan is, though it might not be 100% perfect, but is the only hope. And therefore, the international community will rally behind them, including the African Union, which views it has a role to play. I can, at this point in time, may I also recall the words of Pan-Africanists,
yes,
like Mandela. He says, it always seems impossible until it is done. So it will be done, and the people will be surprised. They shouldn't put a cart before the horse. What is important, we work together and collectively in good faith, that we shall cross the bridge. We should walk the talk. I thank you.
Yes, we should walk the talk. And finally, Chris, what is your final remark on the whole process, and what can the people expect from RGMEC, who is the monitor of this whole process as we embark on this Commission of Truth, Reconciliation and Healing process?
Yes, I will recall the interim chairperson's various communications and also the RGM as a collective, its resolutions. It encourages the Ministry of Justice to go forth together with the stakeholders to complete the process of public consultations and also to then embark on the process of legislations. Of course, when it undertakes the process of public consultations, the principles of inclusion and participation, all those that we've spoken about, we hope that they adhere to it, and we encourage them to do that, and we know they will. They have committed themselves to that. I think on the process of the hybrid court, we've encouraged the Africa Union Commission and the Artigno to meet and discuss and chat a way forward, and we continue to encouraging them to do that. All through, the RGMEC will remain seized of the processes and continue monitoring and reporting and recommending where need be. And we are encouraged by the steps being taken so far, and we hope that there is more urgency in implementation, as we've always said in the past. And we'd like to thank you so much for this radio session. It's been a good platform to engage and discuss, especially on Chapter 5. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much, Chris. And Professor, finally, you are concluding remark in this process as a professor of constitutional law and international criminal law.
My message to the South Sudanese is that we need peace, and all of us should be working together, cooperating together in order to make peace to prevail. And the prevalence of peace to prevail is to continue persevering difficulties where we are today, and then we urge our leaders to implement the agreement that they have signed in order to take us to a democratic pluralism, because under democracy, then people will be now bringing in people whom they have elected to represent them in their constituencies. Otherwise, the current situation of collective, or what they say, transitional period, it doesn't represent people, because it is only based on nomination. Just you take somebody, is a minister representing these people, is a member of parliament representing these people, but he has no constituency, because political pluralism, you come from your constituency. So the South Sudanese should persevere all the difficulties and urge our leaders, the political forces, that this agreement has to be implemented so that we get democracy back to our track. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Wakil Akir Kalambitak, Ole Junubin, can they participate in this coming process above the Yamu Kamsa Fishari?
Ana Risaltile, the whole Junubin Kula Eno, Itu Latiam Bita Legnel Fania, Kois Leadat, Mashro Bita Kanun, Bita Hakito, and Musala Hawatavi, Hayajukum Fil Wilayad Minyom Hidasher. Anahna Anatmana. إنه كلكم تدوم المعلومات اللازمة المطلوبة منكم بدون خوف أو بدون إرهاب. أي زول يدي المعلومات اللي نجو عشان نحن نقدر نعمل قانون بلبي طموحات بتاع شعب جنوب السودان ويصر الحقيقة ويجيب المصالحة والتعافي ويزول ياخد حقه.
Shukran Kailis and Dr. Gabriel Isaac Awo, Undersecretary and Chairperson of the Task Force in the Ministry of Justice and the Constitutional Affairs. We also had Ambassador Jerome Biswaro, African Union Ambassador to South Sudan based here in Juba, Chris Gitari, Transitional Justice Advisor with RGMEC, and Professor Quel Maluel Jok, Deputy Vice Chancellor of Dr. John Garang University of Science and Technology, and he's also Professor of Constitutional Law and International Criminal Law. And I thank you all for coming. Thank you both.
Asante sana.
Asante sana.
Okay.
Thank you.
And with that, we have come to the end of this week's roundtable from me, Sani Martin, and the rest of the team here. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned to the rest of the programs coming up. We'll be right back.
Round Table.